Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Tuesday, August 28th, 2018. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Premier League last weekend. There was a game on Monday as well. We'll cover those games and talk about the few headlines that come out of the weekend, so basically Mourinho. But first of all, good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning, Kevin. Yeah, Mourinho out,
I guess, right? I saw you on Twitter having fun looking at that hashtag. You should never click on hashtags because you get a terrible, terrible view of society. But Mourinho out is the new Wenger out.
I need to click on those hashtags because my relationship with United is such that I enjoy clicking on that particular hashtag. I am who I am, man. You're never going to change me. But I watched him walking and clapping to the crowd, and I tweeted out "Dead Man Walk" because I legitimately thought that it was done. Like, the fact that he's on fire yet is actually surprising to me, and that, you know, that's maybe the first time I've felt that way. Look, they played uninspired. They played a strange lineup. They played disconnected. This is Manchester United. Like, I can take the hat off for a second and say, how does this happen? Like, this is a team that should be dominating. That should be, you know, the team should be afraid of, and they won 3-0 Spurs. It's got to be getting close to the end, especially with Zidane available, because that's absolutely what we're going to go after for sure.
The thing is, when you look at Mourinho, it's a third season jitters, we could call them. It's the third season, I don't want to say a hangover, because to have a hangover, you need to have something to celebrate, to have a party, than to have a hangover. But for me, it's not just the way they're playing, which is uninspiring, not just to play as a player, but to watch as a neutral and even as a fan. It's more the context and the attitude of a Mourinho versus the players versus answering the question. We have seen his press conference after the game where he said, tactically, we won the game. Technically, we won the game, but we didn't win the game. What are you talking about? You lost the game 3-0.
How many points does tactically winning the game get you?
Well, first of all, if he was right, they would have won that game, and they didn't. You cannot tactically win a game when the opposing team puts past three your keeper, you know?
Look, in the first half, United was the better team, but they failed to convert. They flashed the goalpost a couple times. Like, fair enough. Like, they were the better team in the first half, but the game's in 90 minutes. And you gotta put the ball between those two posts, right? Like, that's the whole goal of this thing. So if you flash the post, makes your fans feel good, like, for coming on. But like, ultimately, like, you gotta finish. Like, Lukaku, he should have scored when he had the full open net there, but yeah, he didn't. He's an incredibly frustrating player sometimes, but I don't know what he's doing. Like, I am not a United fan, as you know. So I'm trying to be rational about this. This is a great club. This is a club with an amazing history, and they are floundering right now. And to me, it has everything to do with how they're being managed. And this is not me trying to be hot take Dwayne and say Mourinho out, but I don't know. Like, I'm surprised he's still there. I would have canned him as he was walking off the field yesterday, to be honest, because they need something. Because right now, they're not going to go down or anything stupid like that, but this is a team that's staring at, like, a battle for seventh right now. Like, they're just not good.
No, and for me, you were mentioning Lukaku. I've seen something on social media yesterday, and it might be the best explanation of how Lukaku plays. He looks like he's playing in jeans, like skinny jeans. He looks like he's having trouble lifting his legs. And it's a bit true when you look at how he misses, not the first miss this year. And another thing I saw yesterday, Lukaku apparently does 10 push-ups for every miss he has. So no wonder he has very broad shoulders and big arms.
He's a big man, yeah. So you're saying he's playing jorts is what you're saying?
I don't know. I'm saying he does a lot of push-ups because he misses a lot in that. And that's why he's has a stronger upper body than lower body. But that's a bit what it looks like. It looks like he has some restrictions in his movement.
Someone compared him to Jose Altidore, and I hate to get TFC-ish right now. But, yeah, I can buy that. Like, he's kind of a little bit better than Jose. You know what I mean? He tries to beat guys in the dribble. He's his dominant force, like his great strength in his game. He doesn't really play to it. I mean, Josie's playing at a lower level, so it's hard to really compare it. But, yeah, he's an incredibly frustrating player. Like, I tweeted out, this is one of the players that is the top 10 most frustrating players in the world. And what I meant by that is, like, what you expect from him versus what you get from him. And he's a decent player, for sure. He does produce, but I'm not backing down from that. Like, this is a guy that you just look at and want to shake. Look, if you're not a United fan, you've got to be very frustrated with what you saw yesterday. Not the three goals. I mean, Spurs got in the role in the second half, and they got the third goal, but it was more than that. It was the inability to finish when they had chances. It was the inability to defend when the opposing team was attacking. This is just not the United. This is not your dad's United. You know what I mean?
It's not your older brother's United, never mind your dad's. And one thing, though, we talk about United. Let's talk about the team who won that game yesterday, Tottenham, the Hotspurs, Spurs. Kane, for him, it's August, the month of August of first. Before this season, he had never scored in August, having some sort of a jinx in the month of August, and he scored. And he had never scored at Old Trafford before yesterday, and he scored a wonder goal yesterday. So, Harry Kane, August, the month of first. For Harry Kane.
And Real Madrid's going to be very impressed with him next year. Like, you know, he's a great player.
Apparently he said no. Apparently he said no to Real Madrid just a few weeks ago.
They're all going to say yes eventually. City, maybe. No, I'm kidding. No, the goal was amazing. It broke that. I was willing to bet on 0-0 at that point. The Spurs wasn't really producing anything. United didn't look like they could score, but then Harry Kane sort of leaned back and got that perfect header. It was like that kind of touch header, and it was a great goal. So
yeah, the looping guy, yeah.
To me, he is, I don't know, like top three in the Premier League in terms of the best players. He's absolutely right there. And look, I don't think Spurs is going to compete for the title. I think they're going to compete for fourth. But this is a good team, and Harry Kane is a good player, and Harry Kane could be the player of the year for sure. I don't really believe in Salah because if you don't this year, I don't think he can repeat it. So he might be the best British capital B player that's out there right now.
I mentioned one thing in our Premier League preview a few weeks ago, Dwayne, is how Tottenham, the fact that he made zero transfers in the offseason, brought in zero players, a big zero. Everyone was laughing at that stat, but you have a certain chemistry that you can just start the year with. You don't have to adjust to your teammates. You don't have to adjust your movement, to adjust to the coach, or to do some tinkering of your play. You actually know each other. You have the instincts with each other. And three games in, three wins, I guess we're seeing Tottenham continue their chemistry build, instinct, reactions, team play that they have built over the last few years under Pochettino. And I think it's not going to bring them all the way. And there's a risk-reward factor here where eventually when other teams like Man City finally get it all figured out, it's going to be difficult. But right now, there's three teams that are tied at the top of the Premier League. Tottenham is one. We'll get to Liverpool, and we'll get to Chelsea. But let's start with the first game in the weekend. Wolves-Man City. We have talked about the easy games for Man City, starting last week with Huddersfield and the next five. But we have also talked about in our preview how Wolves is not the Championship Wolves. It's the Premier League Wolves. They have a few better players, Joel Moutinho, for one. And Wolves did the first shock result of the 2018-2019 Premier League season, Dwayne. 1-1 versus your Blues.
Well, you know, they like the ball in the goal, but you know, it's fine. But now, look, Wolves played well. I'll give them full credit. And put their goal aside. Their goal was fortunate, we'll say, for them. But that aside, they defended well for 90 minutes. They got a little luck. There was a couple of posts involved. That's how teams are going to take points off City. And City, you know, I think to their credit, actually clawed back to get the draw. But I'm not too worried about it if I put my parson hat for a second, because, you know, 9 times out of 10, City wins that game. And occasionally, Wolves, you know, teams like Wolves can grab that result. Good for them, because they played dodgily, they played aggressively, they took the game to City when they had an opportunity, they defended really well, and, you know, the goal was, it shouldn't have counted, but regardless, it did, and good for them, honestly. Like, I mean, it was a good result for them, and I can't really be too angry about it. I mean, like I said, the goal is what it is, but I think City should have produced more than they did, so I can't complain. A point on the road, they're still undefeated. It is what it is. So, yeah, good for them.
Southampton, Leicester. Southampton at home got a red card. Leicester took advantage of this and won the game 2-1. Nothing more we really want to say about this game, but Leicester, another good result. Not too bad for the Foxes. Now, the first win under Unai Emery, the Gunners 3, West Ham 1 at the Emirates. Arsenal got their first victory this season, beating the lowly West Ham. What's happening with the Hammers, Dwayne?
Well, they can't defend. That's the bottom line. Like, they're just not very fast at the back, and they really are getting overwhelmed that way. And you know, there's a lot of issues around that team in terms of the stadium move and how they pulled that off and what's happening, and the fans are frustrated. This is not a good situation for West Ham right now. I actually thought that they would be more mid-table, but I
could be relegated.
Way the hell off that.
Yeah, they could have the nicest stadium in the championship, you know. That's what's going to happen.
You know, they're absolutely in the relegation battle right now. I do think they have enough skill that they should be able to stay safe, but this is not a team that's going to compete in any real level, and it really comes down to the defense. They just do not have players that have the pace to keep up with the rest of Premier League right now. And,
yeah. You know,
it's ugly.
It's ugly, and I never really talk about this. I'm open saying Chelsea's my team, and it has been since, 2010 or so? But before that time, I played Football Manager for one time in my really adult life, and I wasn't necessarily the biggest connoisseur of the Premier League at that point. So I just didn't know any teams, didn't know any really a lot of players. It must have been 2005, 2006 or something. So I just took a team. I took West Ham. And so West Ham has a little place in my heart, and it hurts right now. Bournemouth, Everton, 2-2, a game of red cards, a game of two goals each, a game of draw. A very fascinating game, but that ended in a stalemate. It's a bit of a disappointing result if you're Bournemouth, because you kind of need those results against team that you fancy above you in the table. But Bournemouth and Sean Dyche Sean Dyche is Burnley. But their coach as well, Bournemouth, has punched above their weight over the last 2 years. And we think they're still going to be around 16-15 this season, depending on their great result. But Everton, what does it say about Everton if they can't even beat Bournemouth, even though both teams are at 10 players?
Bournemouth is... they're a weird team. They actually have the best record from trailing over the last year right now. So they came back again, and that's what they do. They're diligent. They never give up, so good for them. And what does it say about Everton? I think Everton's actually decent. I think Everton's a good team, and I actually believe they're going to finish mid-table. But yeah, I mean, when you go off a man, you got to finish that off, and it was unfortunate for them. But like I said, Bournemouth is strange. Like, look at it. They've come from, like, a trailing position to get, like, something like 30 points over the last year. It's insane.
That is insane.
Bournemouth, for God's sakes.
Yeah, and the smallest stadium in the Premier League. But you're right, and you mentioned Everton. For me, it's fascinating because we're seeing Marco Silva manage a third team in 3 years in the Premier League, and it's the biggest of them all. It's bigger than Hull, and it's bigger than Wolves. Well, not Wolves. He was with Watford. But for Silva to go to Everton and try to get that famous result that will launch him into a bigger job, right? If you're a lifelong manager and you have your career path, you go from small club, a little bigger club, a little bigger club, then a bit bigger club. Then he's up to the mid-table Premier League type of club. And he needs a outlier result for Everton, where to finish top five, top six, something that he can show was his influence on the result of the team to propel him to maybe a bigger club even next time around. And I'm wondering if he has the tools to do that.
We'll see. I think Everton's goal really should be seventh. Watford, Everton, trying to think what other teams are in the middle there. They really should be gunning for that second European spot. And I think that is exactly where Everton should finish. It's got to be frustrating to be an Everton fan, though, because seventh is kind of their ceiling. And last year was a bad year, but generally speaking, that's pretty much where they always finish. And they can't even beat Liverpool because it's something crazy, like 7 years since they last did so. So it's got to be frustrating. But, look, I'm not going to worry too much about this. I'm actually more impressed by my Bournemouth's ability to come back than I am about Everton's inability to finish it off, to be honest.
Huddersfield 0, Cardiff 0. Huddersfield at 10, man. We're just going to glance over this. And now Liverpool-Brighton. Liverpool got the goal of Salah. Liverpool got the win at home. But did Brighton come out of this with more confidence still? After beating Man United and now holding Liverpool, one of the contenders for the Premier League this year. I say contender, not favorite. Only one goal, and it was Salah. Salah made the difference. If you're Brighton on the road at Anfield, you must be not necessarily pleased with the result, but that result does not impede your confidence.
I'm pretty sure when Brighton looked at the schedule, they would have been very happy to get 3 points out of those two games. Right? Like, I mean, honestly, they played well, and they've indicated to me anyway that they shouldn't. I think they're going to be in that battle, that battle of the bottom for relegation. But I think that they've indicated that they're a decent side that can compete and can get on the front foot and do what it needs to do. It was 1-0. That's what impresses me the most, because I actually thought that Brighton wasn't necessarily capable of doing anything but going at Liverpool. And I thought if they went at Liverpool, it might have been 4-5, to be honest. So 1-0 is good for them. And I'm right now willing to put, a tenner down. I'm not going down. So good for that.
And they were one of the teams that we thought was going to go down. And I guess we have plenty of time to see if we were right or wrong. But right now, it might look like we were wrong. Watford, Crystal Palace. Watford 2, Crystal Palace 1. There's a few images going around of Roy Hodgson drenched in the rain. And I don't want to make fun of Roy Hodgson, but when you get caught by the rain, it's always a bit, I don't want to say funny, but it looked like he was crying hard. It was the rain. But Watford 2, Crystal Palace 1. Crystal Palace have found ways to stay up over the last few years, even going to the dark side and hiring Sam Allardyce. But so far, not looking good.
No, but Watford is. So let's focus on the positive here for a second. They absolutely have had a great start to the season. Every point you need, I think, for Palace's. They're right in that battle. This is the thing with the Premier League. There's no mid-table anymore. It's five teams at the top, the rest. And they're right in there with the rest. And maybe four teams at the top, because I kind of like want to dream of a United being in a relegation battle. Is that wrong?
Yeah. Well, we'll see if that happens. Two games left to talk about in the Premier League. Fulham-Burnley, what a cracker of a game. Sunday, 4 goals for Fulham, 2 for Burnley. At Craven Cottage, Fulham 4, Burnley 2. A famous win for Fulham. Fulham performing well so far. And as expected, yes, but still, right now they're 11th in the table with 3 points out of 3 games played. A good victory that might launch their next few games. You were talking about the lack of mid-table, especially like right now. You should not even be looking at the table right now, except if you lose to a contender that you think is going to be close with you to a position battle. So if you're Man United and you lose against a top four team, that becomes important. But Watford's not going to stay fourth. Man City's not going to stay fifth. And Arsenal's probably not going to stay ninth. But if you are Fulham, you are where you think you should be, 11. You're getting the results against not necessarily a good team, but Burnley is a team that is playing in Europe this year. Burnley is a team that has overachieved over the last 2 years under Sean Dyche. And right now, that victory shows you that Fulham might be closer to top 10 than mid-table. Let's put it this way.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, Burnley is in Europe, as you say. I think that's sort of a week anyway. But for sure, they took advantage of that. And I'm cheering for them. I think it's great that Burnley, they put a full lineup out in last week. So it's a wonderful for them, but they lost 3-1. So they're in tough, but back at Turf Moor. But we'll see. Anyway, yeah, no. Look, yeah, this is the thing about the Premier League this year. When you're talking about matchups like this, it really doesn't seem like you're talking about anything other than 10th versus 11th or whatever. Do I have a problem with it? No, but I support one of the teams that's on top, so whether this is a bad thing or a good thing.
Yeah. And the last game we need to talk about this today for the last weekend is Newcastle-Chelsea. At St. James Park, Mauricio Sarri and his boys came to play, and it was a boring affair. It was a tough game. It was not spectacular. I was kind of surprised by the lack of attacking flair Newcastle showed. And then Chelsea gets a penalty. And it's 1-0 Chelsea. And then Newcastle finds a way, even though the goal should not have stood, because DeAndre Yedlin, the fullback for Newcastle, made a great play to get a ball, but at the same time elbowed Giroud in the face. And then crossed it, and the goal was scored, and it was 1-1. But you know what they say about karma, and karma came back. DeAndre Yedlin scored an own goal that gave Chelsea the 3 points. It is not pretty for Chelsea, but it's still top of the table. 3 wins, 3 games.
I'm confused as an MLS podcast primarily. Are we supposed to be happy or sad about the Yedlin performance? I'm not entirely sure, but anyway, no. Yeah,
well,
no, Chelsea.
I'm not American, so there you go.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, it's fair enough. Yeah. I do defend Josie. But look, Chelsea has not been particularly impressive this year, but 9 points is 9 points. What are you going to do? It's really what it comes down to is getting the results. And that's what, look, if City's going to lose the title, they're going to need other teams to be perfect, and that is going to involve them getting results when they're playing against teams that they should get results in. And so far, even though they have not looked impressive, a team like Chelsea is doing that. So good for them.
Yeah, it is interesting. To finish the show, Dwayne, I want to talk to you about the Canadian Premier League for a second. It was announced yesterday with a video making its round on social media that open tryouts will start very soon in 7 different locations, Montreal included, in the country of Canada. And there'll be different tryouts with different coaches going to different areas, but 7 open tryouts. If you are a player 16 and over, 16 to 20 is probably the age group that is targeted, but if you are one of those players and you think you can play, you think you got game, how about you try to play for the first season of the Canadian Premier League?
this is a marketing ploy that might find one or two players. And I don't blame them for doing this. But as you say, if you want to give it, give yourself a go, by all means, get out there. There's really not a lot of chance they're going to find any, superstars in this. But they might find one or two players, and, I get it. But it's the opportunity to get another press release, to get another story, to get into the newspapers again when you have the local tryout. But I don't think this is really going to find very many players.
I was thinking of dusting off my gloves and going for it, but then I realized, do I really want to run that hard? Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah, no, me too. But, I don't think that I have much of a chance. No, there might be one or two players out there, but I'm curious to see who shows up for this, because there will be some players in this league that we've never heard of before that find their way, but I'm not sure if this is exactly how they're going to find them. I suspect that they'll find them more through scouting over the next few months. So, whatever, though. Like I said, it's another press release. It's another story in all the local newspapers when it happens, and it is what it is. So, hopefully they find a couple players, and hopefully they get the press that they want.
And going to Nashville for a second, Nashville and the ownership group of Nashville has agreed on the reached terms on community benefits agreement for the stadium project, which was one of a blockade with the municipality rejecting a few weeks ago the project. They said we need more benefits for the community and for the area around the stadium to include the community a bit more in this. What's going to be the soft benefit which we usually talk about? And a term has been reached, and now it's moving forward with the building of this stadium project. And I think all problems have been resolved in Nashville.
Good, I guess. I mean, I'm not from Nashville, so I can't really comment on whether it's a good deal for the taxpayers there. But, MLS came in assuming they had a stadium, so it seemed like they do now, so it seems like full steam ahead, and I'm excited to go down there. I can't wait for the first road trip now.
And to finish the show, what we talked about yesterday actually happened. It's going to be announced probably tomorrow by LAFC. Laurent Simon going to Dijon in Liga and leaving Major League Soccer after three full season in Major League Soccer.
And you know what? He had a few good runs there, so we wish him well.
Defender of the year in what, 2016? Was it 2015 or 2016? I think it was 2016. MLS Defender of the Year in 2016, and then it kind of dipped a bit from there.
Yeah, he was pretty good for Montreal. I think Montreal's still missing him, but yeah. For him, he's going back to Dijon. I don't know whether that's particularly inspiring, but he'll finish it out there. And he had moments. So good for him.
Absolutely. And as always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute. Myself at Kev Larame. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Soccer Today, the world of football with a soccer perspective. And as always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.